Chapter 25. Lucy and Taylor rode the rest of the way in silence. Taylor steered the Tahoe into the narrow lane that led from the main road into the abandoned industrial complex that housed the old bottling plant. Empty warehouses and manufacturing facilities lined the drive, dark, ugly scabs of buildings looming out of the rain and mist to crowd the Tahoe. At the end of the barely two-lane street sat their destination, a four-story, red-brick monolith. The street divided, one direction going around to the loading dock behind the building, the other going to the entrance to the underground parking area. Taylor made another gut-wrenching, or in Lucy's case, ankle-wrenching, turn toward the parking entrance, and then spun the wheel again and hit the brakes as he steered them into the darkened mall. A single patrol car guarded the entrance, its lights providing the only illumination. Taylor rolled down both their windows as a patrol officer used his mag light to first examine Taylor's credentials, then walked around to check Lucy's.
"They're down at the bottom level. Park where you see the others. I'll radio ahead, let them know you're coming."
Taylor gave the officer a nod and thanks and jerked them forward again and into the dark spiral of the parking garage. Tight, corkscrew turns led them down until finally they saw the portable halogen work lights of the crime scene crews leaking between the concrete levels. Before they hit the actual crime scene, they turned onto a level filled with official vehicles, two patrol cars, an unmarked Impala, the crime scene investigative unit, and medical examiner's van. Thankful that the nightmare car ride was over and vowing never to let Taylor drive her again, Lucy grabbed her cane and climbed down. She and Taylor walked down the rain and oil-slicked concrete ramp to the lowest level, their crime scene. Don Burrows, the major crimes detective, met them at the perimeter demarcated by crime scene tape. They gave their names to an officer manning the scene and followed Burrows down a path that CSU had cleared.
"Glad to see you back on your feet, Guardino," Burrows said.
"Thanks for sending over the food for Nick and Megan," she replied. "And thanks also for the other." Burrows had arranged for a specialist to clean her home after the police were done processing her mother's body and the rest of the evidence. Kim actually took care of all that. Figured Nick wouldn't have time to cook or shop between trips to the hospital. That first week, Lucy had spent in a fog of drugs while the surgeons took her back for three surgeries to excise the dead tissue and clear up pockets of infection. "Tell her we all very much appreciate it." Damn, she should have tried to keep track of everyone who'd helped out and sent them thank you cards or something. That's what her mother would have done.
"The boy's good?"
"Yep,"
he beamed proudly. "I helped coach Don Jr.'s basketball team to the playoffs."
Nick volunteered to coach Megan's soccer team as well. Lucy never had the time, missed more games than she attended. They reached the lowest level of the garage. More halogen work lights flooded the area, centering on a man's body laying face up on the concrete. He was dressed the same as the man on the motorcycle who'd grabbed June. A few feet away, the bike sat, a helmet dangling from its handlebars.
"How much longer are you gonna need that?" Burrow asked, nodding to her cane. "Maybe months, maybe forever."
"That sucks."
Taylor stared at the dead man.
It wasn't the prettiest of corpses, not with the blood and brains and bones splayed open where the man's face used to be.
"Did you get an ID yet?"
"Meet Carrie Gibbons," Burrows nodded to the corpse.
"Carrie? Like Cary Grant?" Taylor asked, taking notes on his phone.
Burrows did a double take, frowning as if he had no idea who Taylor was talking about.
"If I didn't know you had a girlfriend, I'd be worried about you, Taylor."
"No, Carrie, like Terry Bradshaw with a K."
"As opposed to Carrie Bradshaw with a C?" Taylor pushed, egging Burrows on.
"Jesus, give me a break."
"Anyway, Carrie with a K. Gibbons' name fits him more ways than one. Guy was basically a gorilla for hire."
Burrows smirked at Taylor as if daring him to challenge his knowledge of obscure primates.
"Cause of death?"
You mean other than the shotgun blast to the face? No signs of other trauma. Live scan fingerprints made the ID.
Lucy ignored them to focus on their crime scene. The parking structure made for a perfect killing ground. Secluded. No cameras or security. One way in and one way out. They followed the path clear to the body and then back again to Burroughs, White, and Paula.
They're not going to find anything.
She nodded to the crime scene techs scouring for evidence. Burroughs heaved his shoulders in a sigh.
I know, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything to work with.
His poker face was better than Taylor's, but not by much. Taylor told me you linked 5 other victims to Gibbons. He glared at Taylor for spoiling his surprise, then pulled a swath of evidence bags from his overcoat and placed them on the trunk of the sedan like he was dealing cards.
5 driver's licenses found laid around Gibbons' head, like a halo or crown or something.
Any local?
All out of state.
Taylor leaned over them, aiming his phone to take pictures of each license. Lucy didn't bother. She knew Taylor would send them to her cell as well.
St. Louis, New Orleans, Des Moines, Sacramento, Bakersfield.
Lucy frowned at the unfamiliar names belonging to the licenses. All men, ages between mid-20s and 60, 3 Caucasian, 1 Hispanic, 1 Asian, different appearances. Nothing to show any connection. She turned back to Burroughs.
NCIC?
The National Crime Information Center was the first step in linking a name to any crime. He lowered his head as if they were huddled up, 4th and long.
All 5 dead. All within the past 5 months. All murdered execution style. 22 to the head. No evidence except for the bullets.
So Gibbons was a hitman? Taylor asked, bouncing on his toes. Maybe he was shot by someone he was supposed to kill himself.
Gibbons doesn't exactly have a rep as a mastermind. Can't see him traveling all over the country, setting up on Vicks, doing a hit, and walking away again without leaving any trace.
Burroughs shrugged again.
But maybe I'm wrong.
First thing, let's check with Homeland on the travel, Lucy said.
I'll start knocking on doors, see if there's any word on the street, and check for alibis, Burroughs said. We're getting warrants on his house.
Don't forget electronics and data storage, Taylor put in.
Taylor, reach out to the other jurisdictions, get their files for us, Lucy said.
Locals were more apt to quickly respond to a polite, personal phone request from the FBI than any paperwork Burroughs submitted. The medical examiner's people were getting ready to bundle the body in preparation of moving it.
If Gibbons wasn't behind those 5 murders, then who killed him? And why leave the driver's licenses? Taylor asked.
That wasn't what was bothering Lucy. Didn't even make her top 3.
More worrisome is, what's his connection to Daddy? And does Daddy have anything to do with these 5 dead men?
Who's Daddy? Burroughs asked. As Taylor filled the city detective in on the threats against June and what happened earlier today, Lucy flipped through the driver's licenses. New Orleans, St. Louis, Sacramento, Des Moines, Bakersfield. The places bothered her.
All dead within the past 5 months? She asked, interrupting Taylor. You're sure about the time frame?
Yeah. Why is that important?
Lucy stiffened,
her bad leg spasming with one of the damn electrical shocks that made her muscles quiver. The pain was secondary to a memory. Seth's voice, telling her that 5 months ago, he'd met the man called Daddy. What had he said? That was the day Daddy killed him.